How do you honor God? By doing everything to the glory of God. Not just not sinning, not just, okay, you don't steal from people, but by making good shoes.
If we're going to talk about you were a new creation, that means everything has to change.
Why does God not just, you know, bring people to heaven immediately after being saved? It's because there's stuff to do here. There's a point to all of this. And if we're Christians, we do it better, or at least in theory.
But if we really apply the standard that's set in Scripture, then we know that no one is good because no one is God.
We serve a storyteller. We serve a God who has a perfect plan, a sovereign will for every moment of history.
It's not about going into the world to make artists. It's about going into the world to make disciples.
This is The Christian Artist, honoring Christ through creativity. My name is Caleb.
My name is Carly.
And we are back with some more Christian Artist goodness. We're going to continue our little series here doing some Studio Ghibli stuff. Tonight we're talking Spirited Away, which is widely regarded as probably Studio Ghibli's best film. And in many quarters, one of the best animated films of all time. So, yeah, it's like one of the only Japanese films to win the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature. So, because, you know, it's usually those are just released in Japan. And even when they do get released in America, they're very obscure. But this one got popular enough that it won an Academy Award. So, so Spirited Away is by Hayao Miyazaki. Not one, you know, not one of the other kind of like more obscure Ghibli films by other directors, but fantasy film incorporates a lot of Japanese mythology about a girl who goes to the spirit world, gets spirited away, you might say. Let's go ahead and just give our initial thoughts, Carly.
So the first sequence of the movie had me thinking, oh, this is going to be one of my favorite Ghibli movies so far, because it just seems so normal and wholesome. And then not even
normal
halfway through it,
wholesome.
Not even not halfway the- through it, I was like, this is not one of my favorite Ghibli movies. This is weird and bizarre, and I don't like it very much. There were things about it that I did like, but overall, I just don't understand why it has the hype that it does. Like, it's definitely very, like, visually, it's very iconic. But plot-wise, it did not. It was very, very strange.
Yeah, I would say, I think I would describe it as a beautiful mess. it is very... the animation is gorgeous, as always. No complaints there. The world building is really fun. But the plot and the themes were kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
I know that part of it, so there's two aspects to this. Part of it is Japanese culture stuff that I think I was missing, right? I know there's a lot, and I think I told Carly this, it felt like Narnia, right? In this article that I'm going to be referencing throughout the
that's what I said. It reminded me of Narnia.
You say that? Okay, yeah sorry. I said that to my coworkers when I was talking to them about it today. I say we're one flesh, you know. We just kind of
yeah,
I metastasize it into my being and then it becomes mine as well. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, and many people have related it to Wizard of Oz or Alice in Wonderland, I think is a good parallel.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think I've ever actually read or watched the entirety of Alice in Wonderland, but from what I know of the story, it definitely gives me that vibe.
Yeah.
Very
I've
much
the
more
entirety
Alice
of
in Wonderland.
Very Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. This is, as soon as I saw that comparison, I was like, yep, this is Japanese Alice in Wonderland, which, you know, there you go. Beautiful mess. Good animation, good world building. No one has any idea what the plot or the themes are about, right? And again, like there's all sorts of people with all sorts of ideas about what this could mean. But I just think that it wasn't very well executed. It probably works better for Japanese people, right? As I was saying, there's a lot of mythology. There's a lot of cultural stuff. You know, people said it has a lot of like Shinto Buddhist mythology stuff. And, you know, okay, great. You know, worked for those people then, I'm sure. But for me, I like it as a, you know, English dub, you know, produced in America or not produced, released in America, made as an Americanized version of this, right? Presented in English to me, did not give me enough context to understand any of the references that were being made mythology wise. There's a couple of like iconic things that I understood, you know, like the bathhouse and, you know, how that all worked and, dragons, obviously got, you know, Kami river gods and river spirits and stuff. That all makes sense to me. But some of this, I feel like was relying in a similar way as if, like, if you showed someone a non-European Narnia and they were like, who is this lion supposed to represent? Like, why is Santa Claus? Why is Father Christmas here? Like, what's going on? Right. All of these like mythologized characters that are like kind of retrofitted to this setting. That's what I felt a lot of the time throughout.
Especially when you consider the fact that Narnia is very clearly a, an allegory for Christianity. Like if you're looking at Narnia through a non-Western lens that's non-Christian, then you're not going to see it the same way. You're probably going to be confused, and even if you get what it's supposed to be, you're probably not going to get all of the different things that are being referenced to make it the entirety of what it is.
Yeah. And so beyond even that, though, I think that the themes and the plotting, Tara's being noisy in the background, the themes and the plotting are just kind of all over the place. There's not a whole lot of it could have been way tighter, way more clear in the logical progression that a lot of the character arcs took. Like, you know, I understood that Chihiro, our main character, has an arc, right? But I don't know. Like I felt a lot of like, okay, cool. She's this way at the beginning of the movie. And then at the end of the movie, she's just a different way. And I didn't understand a lot of the steps she took to become that. So it just didn't make it clear to me. I don't know. It could be my fault. Maybe I need to watch the movie again. We did watch it in two sittings, but it was, you know, a night apart. So it's not like we had like a bunch of distance between it.
They did do a little bit of work on just like making her less timid. Like, I think that was the main thing they were trying to do with her character is like, she went into this spirit world, like not wanting to be there. Like, her parents were the ones leading her there, being like, let's go check this out, it's cool. And she was the one that was scared. And then she came out of it being like, oh, we're moving to a new town and I'm going to have to go to a new school and see new people, but it's not so scary because I've seen scarier things now. But, and they hinted at that a little bit throughout the movie with like, there's like one part where it's clear she's afraid of heights. And then later on in the movie, she's like, doing another height related thing and she's clearly not as timid, but and this goes for the rest of the movie too. I feel like they had some good things going, but they didn't hint at them clearly enough. Like, you just don't get the sense of like, oh, this is clearly what I'm being told is happening. It's like, you could pick up on it and put it together, but it's,
But even then it wasn't satisfying.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's
one thing to be like, this is what this means.
Yeah.
But for to have us believe it is another thing, right?
Right. Cause it kind of felt like when you're doing a project for school and you're just like trying to tick all the boxes and be like, okay, well, did I show character progression at all in this one character? And be like, oh, okay, I gotta go back and add in, oh, she's afraid of heights, so I gotta like add in these couple little tiny parts where she like faces her fear, kind of a thing, instead of like making it an overarching, like, intentional thing throughout.
Yeah, Yeah. There were some sequences that were really, really good. And again, so I say all of this as someone who actually really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed it way more than Carly did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were so many really fun characters. The world building was really fun. There's a lot of really good sequences that stand on their own. The issue is when you zoom out and look at it as a whole, it's so sloppy.
Yeah.
Trying to come together by the end of it. Something like Totoro, I can forgive a lot easier because the movie itself explicitly tells you this movie is about nothing happening. Yeah,
it's like, not trying movie, to do a lot.
Yeah. This movie is about two little girls who are playing in their yards and their imagination is going wild and they meet forest spirits. That's the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it tells you that. It shows you that from the get-go. Like, it's very clear up front that this is what it's going to be. Spirited Away did not prepare me for what it was going to be. And that opening sequence, I think you're right, Carly, it set up a bunch of weird false signals as to what the movie was going to be like. And then out of nowhere, it becomes something completely different. And again, it might be Japanese, like, cultural stuff not coming through. Like, maybe as soon as they got to that place, all the Japanese audience members are like, oh, I know what's going to happen now. Like, but even up until she comes back and her parents are pigs, I was still like, what is going on?
Yeah, I think there must be some cultural thing there because, I think it's part of it that, like, it's clear that most of the spirits are just mean, but, like, yeah. Like, she literally walked into this place doing nothing wrong, and her parents even weren't doing anything wrong. Like, they walked into this supposedly abandoned theme park looking place and see a stand full of food and are like, okay, well, we have credit cards and we have cash and we're just really hungry and this looks delicious, so we'll just start eating, and whenever the proprietor comes around, we'll pay them for everything we eat. Like, that was their intention. Yep. And then the movie just spins it into this whole, oh, your parents were greedy and gluttons, and you have to pay, you have to stay here and work and eventually try to find a way to escape with them. She went into the spirit bathhouse thing being like, oh, this is scary, I don't want to be here. And the movie just kind of proved her right. Like, it was such, like, at least at the beginning, like, towards the end, you get to know some of the characters more, and you're like, oh, okay, there's more camaraderie here than initially. But, like, when she first walks in there, everything is terrifying. Like, I wouldn't want to be there either. So it makes some weird assumptions about her character and just about the way that it's trying, like, I feel like it doesn't know how it wants to tell the story.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. There wasn't a clear progression of character arc stuff for her. There wasn't the one thing that really worked is the scene where, and we're kind of jumping all over the place here. If you haven't watched the movie, you probably should just go watch the movie at this point and then come back and listen to the rest of the episode. The rest of the episode is going to be for those of you who know what we're talking about. The sequence that I really, really enjoyed was, so, you know, the beginning of the movie is like, she gets stuck in this bathhouse. She has to work here. Otherwise she's going to be attacked by spirits or whatever, right? Like, she has to kind of make herself part of the society or else she's not going to be able to get out. And then, you know, slowly work from behind the scenes to get out of the spirit world. And that is all well and good. You have a part where, you know, they call the stink spirit. It comes, you know, full of garbage and refuse and whatever, and track and mud and whatever all over the bathhouse. And everyone is like, no, go, you know, get out of here. And then when the stink spirit finally comes into the bathhouse and it seems clear that he's not going to leave until he gets a bath, they shove him to Chihiro, right? They say, oh, our human employee, she has to be the one to do this. That's a good idea. We'll just shove this off on her. She stands up to the task. She does a great job and gets this kind of magical little thing from what ends up being like a river spirit instead. And then from there, you know, can use that to help her friends and stuff. That sequence was really, really good. I liked that entire progression of her like being really afraid and then like having this pushed on her and standing up to the task and doing it well and being like nice to the spirit and all that stuff and then being rewarded for it. But, and again, it might be a Japanese cultural thing. The rest of the movie from that point on, like that's where we ended our first sitting, was like right after that sequence. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I like this. And then the rest of the movie just starts getting weird after that mm-hmm. point, way weirder. And a bunch of new characters are introduced and like none of their arcs make any sense. There's an entire subplot about a twin sister of the main proprietor of the bathhouse. She didn't
so
need to
random.
Exist.
Yeah.
I don't know why that character existed. Like she was randomly good out of nowhere.
Yeah.
With no foreshadowing.
She seemed just as horrible as her sister in the beginning.
She took
she
actions
was first
that were just as horrible as her sister.
And
like,
then
on screen, it was very
and
clear.
Then when you actually in person met her, it was like, oh, she's just a sweet old grandmother that's trying to fix her wicked sister's habits.
sweet old grandmother that sent 1,000 paper mache little paper clippings to murder someone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then randomly, like the whole thing with like No Face. I really liked the design of that character. Mm-hmm. I really liked the kind of creepy vibe that he had.
Yeah, and he's very iconic. Like,
yeah, but
even before knowing what this movie was, I had seen his character all over the place.
Mm-hmm. But the answer at the end of the day is, I guess she gives the thing that she had from the river spirit to the guy. He vomits up all of the trash that he ate, all of the food and the people that he ate. And then it's just fine.
Yeah.
That
was
when,
never
when his
resolved.
Entire character before that was like
with
sneaky, greedy, evil.
Sister. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's no reason why she did would have changed him.
Yeah. Well, a little bit while we were watching the movie, I looked up some more about his character and they did not, I don't think they made this clear enough in the movie, which is the problem with it. But apparently, like supposedly when he eats people, he like adapts some of their personality traits and stuff. So when he's eating the people in the bathhouse that were greedy for his gold, he was becoming more like that.
But the thing is, he was already like that because he ate the first person in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I suppose that when you do more evil things, you become more evil. That is true.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't someone else's fault, right? Mm-hmm. No Face was being evil from the beginning, basically.
Yeah.
Right? He literally ate a person with
it was such a weird, the way that they introduced his character was weird too, because when they introduced him, I thought that he was going to be a good character. And they tried to make him that at the end. They tried to make him kind of at least neutral, but
yeah,
like
his actions were all over the place.
Like, yeah, he came in and met the main character and seemed like just a very mysterious, but somehow was going to be good and helpful character. And then he randomly eats a person and it's like, what? What just happened?
He tempts them with gold, so they come closer and closer, and then eats them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out all the gold is fake too. So he's just being evil the entire time.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things, like this is actually a very Asian thing that just doesn't work with the way that we know the world is. Spirits in Asian mythology are kind of like fickle, neutral beings that you have to respect, and sometimes they do bad things, sometimes they do good things, but they just are, and nothing they really do has any moral weight to it because they're just spirits and they're weird and they do whatever they want. But no, that's not how our world works. Things are evil or they're good. You take evil actions and you become more evil. You take good actions and you become more good. You can't excuse any of the actions. Like the story of this spirit eats a bunch of people in this bathhouse, steals a bunch of their food by giving them fake gold in exchange for it. And then at the end of the day gets to retire at an old lady's cottage and weave and knit for the rest of his life. No, that's not a good ending.
Found
to
his
that.
Passion.
Right? Yeah, it's like, oh yeah. And then it all becomes about, oh, he was just misunderstood. And that's just not true. Right. That's not how any of this works. And that's what a lot of it felt like is like, you know, they were, all the spirits were mean to her for no reason, and then became happy and then liked her for no reason. Like, I guess
that was weird. Like they all were like, oh, there's a stinky human here, and let's just give her the horrible menial task that we don't want to do. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, she's the one that can solve all these problems here.
Yeah. So again, I really liked the movie for what it was. I definitely felt like there was way more.
What it was weird.
Yeah. Again, I like weird. I like weird things. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. I was just disappointed that, like, I saw the potential that was there for something really tight, really well paced and plotted, that hit all of its beats really cleanly and gave us like a really satisfying end with our characters. And then we just didn't get that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a bunch of things that happened that were loosely connected to each other and loosely led somewhere with a character arc. And then at the end, we just got the thing that we knew was always going to happen, but without much earning of it. Yeah. Right. We knew she was going to get out, but it didn't really feel that earned. We knew that she was going to remember Dragon Guy's name. Didn't really feel earned either. We knew that No Face was going to be defeated. Didn't really feel earned, right? Like, all of the like main plot points of like, we see this as a problem that needs to be solved by the end of the movie. They all happened how we expected them to, but there was no surprising. There was no satisfying, we should have seen that coming sort of thing.
She passed the test in the end by knowing that her parents weren't among the pigs that were presented to her. She was like, trick question, none of these pigs here are my parents. But we never got an answer as to how she figured out which one were her parents. They all looked like pigs.
Yeah.
Like, unless it was some mystical, like, I just know they're my parents. But that was never explained. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And another thing that just stood out to me with the Boiler Man, where I'm forgetting his name now, but the dragon character, he tells her, go to him. He's gonna like turn you down over and over and over again, but make sure he gives you a job no matter what. And he turned her down a couple times, but then Lynn, I think her name was, comes into the scene and he's like, find a job to give her. And I was like, what? Like, that didn't, I feel like that didn't take very much effort. like it didn't deliver on the difficulty that you thought she was going to have.
This movie really needed a lot more try-fail cycles.
Yes.
Right. It needed clear, like, she tries this, it doesn't work. She tries this other thing that also doesn't work. And then she tries a third thing and it works for a reason that we understand.
Yeah.
Right. For a reason that makes sense and feels earned. That never happened almost at any point in this movie. Right. It was just things that happened, and sometimes she failed and sometimes she succeeded for no real clear reason. So again, there was, it felt like there could have been, if you just change a couple of things, there could have been clear reasons, and maybe there were vague reasons given that kind of made sense, but nothing that really hit you with any weight. It was like, oh, cool. Yeah, she saved a river spirit and now she has a magical MacGuffin that can heal everybody.
Yeah.
But then she just uses that to heal everybody. And then that's the end of the movie. Right. Like, she didn't have to do anything after that point. Mm-hmm. Right. It was just, she just gave it to Haku, who's the boy's name, gives it to Haku. He's fine now. Gives it to No Face. He's fine now. For some reason remember Haku's name, real name, because I guess she is connected to the river spirit now for some reason.
Yeah, that,
I don't know.
That was another weird part where she was just like, I just remembered this thing that happened to me when I was little that I never mentioned before at all in this movie or was ever hinted at, but this must be the answer to who you are for some reason. It was like, you,
and it was,
the
and it
movie
was
could have hinted, like, that could be the answer.
Uplifting musical moment that was never earned.
It's like, it's fine if that's the answer, if she figures it out that way because she remembers something, but the movie could have foreshadowed that at all. Like, it did not, but it could have done that at several points earlier throughout the story. And it, it just randomly was like, this and must be your name.
and it could have done that by cutting out a bunch of other random stuff that didn't even need to be. Yeah. Movie, right.
That's, I think that's the reason why I don't love this movie so much compared to other Ghibli films, is because it feels like there's so much weirdness for the sake of being weird, as opposed to for serving the plot and the actual character arcs. Whereas, like, they could have taken some of that weird, bizarre stuff and made it have a very clear purpose in telling the story, as opposed to just being there. And again, a lot of that, I'm sure, is a cultural thing of, like, I'm sure Japanese people would look at this movie and be like, a lot of that is more purposeful than you think. But, yeah, to an American, it's just like, a lot of this seems just weird, and it doesn't it doesn't serve a clear purpose.
Let's see if there's anything else that's relevant that we should talk about. It did seem like there was trying to be a theme of some kind of Western consumerism, looks like. Obviously they hint at the parents being greedy, which I don't think makes any sense.
In the actual situation, that's not what was happening.
Also, something that got pointed out here that I'm looking at that I didn't notice was that Yubaba, the main witch lady in charge of the bathhouse, wears Western clothing as opposed to everybody else who wears, you know, simple Japanese, like traditional Japanese clothing. Apparently, yeah. So also like... Chihiro's parents arrive in an imported car. The father wears a European style polo shirt and reassures Chihiro that he has credit cards and cash. So like they were hinting at this being like a Western consumerism bad, traditional Japanese values good, right?
Interesting.
So not as clear to apparently people who have accepted Western consumerism, whatever, you know, I don't care if they think about me. I think a lot of that stuff didn't.
Oh no! It must be so bad to consume a product and then pay someone for it, or intend to pay someone for it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're hungry. So bad. Like, it's not bad to pay for food, right? Like, yeah. So then obviously we have No Face, who is similarly being greedy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it just, I don't know. It just didn't land for me. I had to have a Wikipedia article tell me it after the fact. Like, that's not your themes didn't show me. It weren't clear to me if I have to do that. So, I definitely saw a lot of the, like, you know, Alice in Adventures in Wonderland stuff. We're just kind of like going into a fantasy world. There's not much in the way of logic or stability. That's like part of the whole thing, right? In the same way it didn't really work in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, it doesn't work here. Like, I like Adventures in Wonderland, again, for what it is, but what it is weird and a mess, right? Like, you can't really get a clear story out of something like that. And that's what people are looking for when they watch a movie. So, yeah, I guess there are some weird people out there who... Or if you like set their expectations properly for that's what's going to be, but they didn't do that here, right? It just, it seems much more like, oh yeah, we have a clear problem here that needs to be resolved. Like, you get sucked into a fantasy world and you need to get out. But just, you know, there's no, our heroine didn't feel like she earned the transformation that she got a lot of points. Again, she did a lot of things, but they didn't have weight. They didn't have as much weight as they should have had. They weren't clear enough character milestones that we actually believed the logical progression, at least for me. Let's see. Yeah, apparently this is a very, very, very popular movie. Steven Spielberg apparently said that Spirited Away might be better than any Disney films I have ever seen.
I don't agree with that.
So strange.
That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, really popular. I don't get the popularity. Especially when you compare it to the other Ghibli films. That's what's weird to me about this. Like, if this was like the one thing that Miyazaki had made and everyone was like, oh, the animation, like, you know, all this stuff, like, I would have been like, okay, I get it. Like, this singular thing out of all of the other, you know, things that are less quality animation and maybe less quality world building. But this is a middle film of a studious career, of a very prestigious career, involving way better films with just as good animation. So I don't understand.
Yeah, I wasn't even a huge fan of Princess Mononoke, but I like that one far better than this one. It's way more cohesive, and I feel like it should be more iconic than this one is.
Princess Mononoke is a really good example because this movie and that movie are both right next to each other in the chronology. They both use computer graphics to really good effect. Mm-hmm. They about the same quality of animation in this era where the animation was getting really, really good for Miyazaki. Mononoke is the far superior film because it actually has a plot.
And they're both like trying to touch on similar, similar
themes.
One
does it way better.
Yeah.
And I say that for a movie that's actually pretty preachy. Mm-hmm. Like, it does it way better than, like, it feels like there are two opposite ends of the spectrum where Mononoke was maybe too heavy-handed with its plot and its themes, but Spirited Away is way too subtle to the point where it gets hard to understand where the logical progression actually is. And, you know, the more I talk about this, the more I might be over-exaggerating because we're getting into an energy here. But still, like, I just think that it definitely, compared to the other Ghibli films especially, it does not meet the standard that I have for these films.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I was talking with Ethan at work today. And that's the thing he agreed with me on, is that a lot, that's all, when Miyazaki has weaknesses, that's where the weaknesses lie, is very gorgeous animation, but the plot is not there, right? Yeah. Like, it's not, it doesn't have, like, the words I keep coming back to is it doesn't have weight, and it doesn't have, like, it doesn't feel earned. If things just happen, instead of, like, things happening in a particular sequence is not a plot. Things happening for particular reasons that lead into other reasons that make the first reasons become more clear. Like, there's a logical progression. There's energy. There's motion that all lead somewhere. Very, again, surprising yet inevitably. This movie did not have that. Yeah. Any other thoughts on Spirited Away? There wasn't a whole lot in terms of like gender roles to talk about, which is something we like to talk about with the Ghibli films. Not really a whole lot there. Yeah. Didn't make a lot of comments on that. There was
just the weird, again, might be a cultural thing, because we were talking about this after we finished watching the movie, is like, there was this whole mention of like, oh, love is what's breaking this curse on Hachi, or whatever his name was. I'm forgetting. I always forget. Haku. Haku, yes. It was like, oh, love is what's breaking this curse because you love him. And it was never made clear, like, if they meant that as a romantic love, but that's what it sounded like, because we're so used to, like, oh, true love is breaking the spell kind of thing. But from my perspective, watching the character interactions, it was always like a friendship type love that was happening there. And it, I don't know. Yeah, that just threw me off and was like, wow, you're making an assumption there that didn't seem to be backed up by the actual events.
And it may have been that they weren't implying that, but the way
that it was stated, the English dub. That's true.
Right. It may have been like a weird cultural translation thing. But it definitely seemed like randomly out of nowhere, the characters started saying, oh, yes, love between these two characters. Right. And we're like, what? What are you talking about? They're 10 years old. What are you talking about? Well, one of them is an immortal river spirit, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know how Japanese is with the Japanese are with age and anyway. Animation was good. World building was fun.
Really good.
The individual, there's a lot of really cool individual characters with a lot of really cool designs. There's not a whole lot backstory wise to talk about here. The main inspiration for the movie was let me find it here. A friend's daughter that, you know, so Miyazaki and his family and some other families got together to take vacations at a mountain cabin every year, every summer. And one of his friend's daughters just kind of was a fun character, and he kind of inspired Chihiro. And then the bathhouse, I think, was something that that was significant. I'm trying to find it again here. Yeah, here we go. Inspired by the bathhouse in Miyazaki's hometown, he thought the bathhouse was a mysterious place, and there was a small door next to one of the bathtubs in the bathhouse. Miyazaki was always curious about what was behind it, and he made up several stories about it, one of which inspired the bathhouse setting of Spirited Away. So, again, you know, very Japanese thing. A bathhouse mm-hmm. is something, and but that's something that I understood, right? Like, mm-hmm, I understood the Japanese, like, motif of a bathhouse and why it's important and all that stuff. It's just all the other stuff that didn't make any sense.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, again, good movie. I liked the movie, at least. I enjoyed watching the movie. I don't regret having watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies that is good enough to make you sad that it wasn't better.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like, there was no hope ever and never any hope for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, oh man, I like that movie, but it could have been so much better. So at least for me.
It's especially disappointing when like you really like the way that a movie is going and you think you know what it's going to do. And you know that if it does that, it's going to be really good. And then it does something that's not as good. And you're like, how could you not come up with this thing that would have been better? Like,
yep.
It's like when you as the audience think of something that would have been more satisfying of a story, it's always disappointing. Because it's like you as the storyteller should be able to tell a better story than me predicting how yours is going to go.
Yep, for sure. But yeah, I think that's probably all we have to say about Spirited Away. Take a look at what might be next on our list here. We got Studio Ghibli Collection. There it is. The Cat Returns is next.
Oh, fun.
That is the sequel to... I think it might be like the kind of spiritual successor. I don't know if it's like a direct sequel from Whisper of the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it is related to the cat, weird cat character in mm-hmm. Whisper of the Heart. Well, we'll see how that goes. Next up after that is Howl's Moving Castle, which is another one of the like...
I'm excited for that one. I hope that one lives up to the hype more than this one did.
Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle are the two that I've been hearing the most about. So, so yeah, excited to keep watching. There is one that I need to add to this list that Ethan told me about, but I'll do that later. Okie dokie. Well, there's been the Christian Artist. If you're interested in the other stuff that we do here on this channel, you can check out the links in the liner notes, either of this live video or if you are watching on YouTube after the fact, it'll be in the liner notes there as well, the description. Thanks for watching, and we'll be back next time to talk more Ghibli, unless we randomly decide to talk about another topic, which we might do. That happens every once in a while. All right. Adios.